What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Another Saturday night spent with the McMullen. I don't believe this.
Deal with it.
Of course I have to. I hired you, didn't I? And by hired, I mean, you know, gave you a sandwich.
It was delicious, by the way.
You're crazy as a soup sandwich.
It was, I could tell that it had sat out for a couple of days, but other than that, it was good.
Yeah, as you can hear, Jillian's not with us again this week, but I screwed up. She wasn't in Chicago last week. She was shooting stuff for the Cinema Snob site. She's in Chicago next week. I'm a moron on that account. I just need that on the record.
Good luck keeping track of her. She's like a hummingbird.
Now, what we're going to talk about first, Charlie, normally this is where I would play the dumbest thing sounder, right?
Sure.
The thing we're going to talk about, actually, I don't have a smartest thing sounder, because this isn't dumb at all. So this week's smartest thing I've ever heard, in Texas, the company that publishes the biology textbooks is refusing to include creationism or anything that discounts climate change in their science textbooks because, quote, we don't publish fiction as science.
I really like the wording of that.
That is just beautiful to me. Maybe I'm being a little racist here, but Texas of all states being the one to stand up for science?
It gives you a good feeling. I mean, it's like a German defending a Jew. You know what I mean? Like it feels good. It makes a bigger statement because it's coming from Texas.
And Texas has been one of the big battleground states in this because Texas has been the conservative Christians and the Texas State Board of Education. That's kind of sad right there, that the Texas State Board of Education. Let me repeat that for you, okay? The Texas State Board of Education has been pushing to get intelligent design taught as an alternative to evolution. What
right.
The fuck does that say?
It says there's a lot of conflicts going on in Texas because intelligent design is a theory. Creationism is a theory. I would like to say that evolution is a theory, but it's not really.
Evolution is a fact. It's only called the theory of evolution because I always love when they use that argument. Well, evolution's called a theory. It's like, do you understand the difference between a theory, the way you're using it, and a theory in scientific theorems? Do you
right.
understand the difference in these terms, those of you that use that argument?
Yeah, I mean, evolution is a theory the same way relativity is a theory.
Or gravity.
Right.
Because gravity is a theory, too. Are they going to say, well, no, gravity doesn't exist. God did that. God is pushing you down. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this part. Isn't Texas also where Bill Nye got completely screamed at and people ran out of his symposium? When he had the audacity to tell them that the moon does not make its own light, that it is simply reflected sunlight, because they are taught in the Bible the moon has its own light?
Well, how can that be? Because when the moon is out, the sun has gone away.
That was scary.
Yeah, I know.
You were almost Cletus Van Damming that.
It's because I've heard literally that without a hint of irony before.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
I live in a really ass-backwards town. I've heard some terrible shit like that.
Wow. Okay. And you know what's really funny about this whole thing? There has been a study that we might talk about next week, but there's been a study put out that lays claim that Bible creationism is a religious superstition that actually hurts America and spreads willful ignorance and anti-intellectualism across the world. I can't argue with that, can you?
No, it makes sense to me. I mean, it starts with just, you know, playful hurling of feces at each other, but it can lead to the Crusades.
Well, and get this. There are actually some of the creation boards, some of the people that on that school board, the Texas State Board of Education, that are trying to push through the creationism, or sorry, intelligent design, which is it's creationism, let's face it.
It's also an oxymoron.
They are actually calling teaching evolution a form of mental abuse.
Jesus. Okay, that I can't understand at all. Why is it a form of mental abuse?
Because to a conservative Christian, the Bible is the word of God, and you are actively teaching against the word of God. Therefore, you are endangering the soul of these children. Therefore, you are abusing them.
Okay. So, like how can man be created in God's image if he evolved from a tadpole?
Kind of.
Okay.
Texas, you get a pass this week. You did good.
Good for you, Texas. That you still got a long way to go, but you're on the right track.
Well, do you want to talk about Missouri now?
God damn it. I knew this was coming. All right.
Yeah, I prepped you on this one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Remember how horrified we were at Steubenville, Ohio?
I am still pissed about that. I give that the tops. That is the worst thing, I think, that we have ever discussed on this show.
It's up there. But Missouri, Maryville, Missouri, seems to want to hit the running.
Yeah, at least there was no involvement with the parents in Steubenville. In Maryville, is it Ville? Like, is that the X factor here? Like, any town with Ville at the end of it, horrible shit happens?
I've written articles about this so-called rape culture that we do not live in. But it just seems like the kids that are growing up today think, yeah, I raped her, and?
Yeah, it's not even viewed as a crime to some people.
No, and this one actually has one more added layer of despicableness once we get down the line into the facts here than Steubenville does that actually makes me sicker about this, about Maryville than Steubenville.
Right, and if this is your first time listening to What the Fuck and you have not committed suicide yet, let's explain what Steubenville was. This was, what was that, like 3 months ago maybe?
No, it was about 6 months ago.
Okay.
It was like in spring.
There was a case in Steubenville, Ohio, where a girl was raped by, was it three or four?
It was three people that got charged and were joking about it.
Right. Three people were charged with rape. The evidence was the pictures and text that they posted on the internet.
And the video of the rape itself.
A video that they themselves posted on the internet of them raping a girl. But the public outcry in Steubenville, Ohio, was they shouldn't be convicted. They should just be let off with a warning because they are very good at football, and high school football is apparently very important to the residents of Steubenville.
That and the prosecutor in Steubenville didn't want to file charges because they were good at football. The police didn't want to investigate because they were good at football. It took the state to step in and go, no, 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 I don't care if they're good at football. A crime's been committed here.
Right. People with high-ranking jobs who are able to influence legislature and everything, they said, well, they have such a bright future ahead of them, let's just let this go.
And then CNN made it worse when the boys were sentenced and started crying, and CNN was on the side of the boys. These poor boys, they made one mistake by, you know, raping a girl, videotaping it, putting it online, laughing about it, and then trying to weasel out of getting convicted of it. That's just one mistake, and why should that taint the rest of their lives, Charlie?
Even tangentially so.
Maryville actually adds a layer of utter despicability to this, but it's not the cops this time. What happened was, this time, two teenagers were raped, a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old. Now, they were raped by 16 and 17-year-olds. Now, guilt, just like in the Steubenville case, is not an issue here. They videotaped their crimes. They confessed to their crimes. There was physical evidence of their crimes. And the police did their jobs. Okay? In Maryville, this time the police did their jobs.
For all you people that say we're just biased liberal assholes, I would like to note that so far we have given due credit to both Texas and the police.
In the same episode.
Right. So make a note of that.
Probably not going to happen much more. Well, it goes to the prosecutor. The prosecutor then decides, you know what? One of these boys is the grandson of a really high-ranking congressman that I'm trying to get in good with. Not enough evidence. Confessions, videotape, physical evidence, DNA. That's not enough for a conviction. No charges filed. And if that were the end of it, Charlie, I'd go, okay, that's offensive. But of course it doesn't end there, does it?
No. If I remember the story correctly, the family of the victims, in fact, they were not related, so it's two families we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yes, two families were just asked by the influencers of Maryville. I don't know if it was like the mayor or I don't know who was actually involved. I know the superintendent of schools was involved. But they were just asked to forget everything and move out of town.
And eventually their house was burned down when they kept pressing this in the media. It was, yep. How dare you? And now, here's where we get to the added despicable part. The mother of one of the boys, okay? One of the rapists, again. And I'm going to call them a rapist, Charlie, because, again, guilt is not an issue. Mm-hmm. They did it. She said to the Kansas City Star, our boys deserve an apology, and they haven't gotten it yet.
What they deserve an apology for was not actually made clear.
I think she was kind of unclear, but she was basically saying, those little sluts, because legally no convictions were made, those little sluts harmed my boy. They should apologize to him. Even though, you know, he's on video raping them, and he admitted to raping them, and he was laughing about raping them, and he never said he didn't rape them, but those little sluts.
Yeah, the mother of one of the rapists was upset at this whole thing being blown into proportion.
And then it gets even worse. You didn't think it could get worse, but it gets worse, right? So then when the prosecutor decides not to file charges, the sheriff, who again, doing his job, and he actually made a quote, we know these boys are guilty. So the sheriff is on board with this. When he sees that the prosecutor won't do anything, he makes a call to the state attorney general of Missouri. The attorney general says, nah, I'm not getting involved. Then, when the attorney general won't get involved, now the federal government's going, all right, all right, all right. Now we've got a problem. The governor of Missouri is now going, whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell did you just do, attorney general?
This, I think, I mean, it sort of makes a statement on democracy as a whole, because everybody in America has a voice. Everyone in America has a right to due process. Everyone has all the rights of the Constitution at their disposal for when it's necessary. That means that the woman of this rapist also has those rights. And this was a case that could not be more open and shut. There was no question of guilt. Why is that not the end of it?
Because the prosecutor, it comes down to who they're related to. The rapists have not been identified, but one of them is the grandson of a high-ranking congressman who carries a lot of sway in Missouri. And
who
you know,
also
has not been
identified.
And you know, in Missouri, let's face it, southern states are really kind of corrupt in general.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good old boys club, and the prosecutor wants to stay in that club.
Right. Prosecuting
the grandson of her future boss? Probably not a wise move.
Really just fucking spineless. Just a horrible example of a human being.
And then the prosecutor doubled down. This is before the attorney general didn't get involved. The prosecutor doubled down. It's more complicated than that. Don't follow all of the red herrings.
Oh, Jesus.
How is it more complicated when the police, when the sheriff is going, they're guilty. Why are you not filing charges? You see, it's more complicated than this.
That is literally the opposite of a red herring.
It's you going, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me.
If you don't look at me, I'm not here.
So Maryville is the new Steubenville. Is it sad that I guess Steubenville wasn't bad enough? Maryville said, we can do better or worse, depending on your way of looking at it. But we also do need to condemn the Attorney General of Missouri. But we also need to say, good on you, Governor. The governor did the right thing going, you know what? My attorney general's not doing his job. I'm stepping in now.
Right. There's a little bit more of a silver lining than there was with the Steubenville case.
I don't know what the federal government can do, because if the prosecutor fails to bring charges and the sheriff wants it, but the same thing happened in Steubenville and they were brought up on federal charges, and you know, in Steubenville, the attorney general's office actually stepped in. I don't know what can be done if the attorney general doesn't want to step in. I don't know legally what the next option would be. I mean, yeah, the governor can bitch about it, but I don't know if he can do anything about it, you know?
I know. I don't know what kind of a tenured position attorney generals have. Like, I don't even know how they're how they come to be an attorney general. I don't know how they're
I believe they're elected.
Okay. So then they can't be recalled.
You know, I'm really not sure. I never looked into attorney general status.
Senators can be recalled. I know. Yes. In Colorado, we just had a senator who was there was a measure on the ballot to recall Angela Giron.
To me, Maryville and Steubenville together exemplify everything that's wrong with the way we do look at rape. And keep in mind what I said about rape culture earlier. I don't believe we live in a rape culture. But when we were growing up, Charlie, you knew that if a girl, if you got her drunk at a party and forced yourself on her, that was rape, didn't you?
Yes. That's pretty much made clear right out of the gate.
Whereas these kids, not only do they do it and they videotape it, which is the mark of a real master criminal,
right,
and then upload it, again, master criminal move, but then just joke about it. You know, we really ran a train on her, and then blame the victim.
And there was not even a hint of ignorance of the law.
No. And no, this is speculation. I'll say this right off the bat. It's almost like the main rapist here, the one that's got the congressional grandfather, kind of knew nothing would happen. Like, granddad will protect me.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen to me. Granddad's there for me.
That's very likely.
You know, that part is speculation. But with what happened, speculation with a little bit of evidence, since granddad is protecting him?
I don't know. There's no accountability for corrupt behavior like this.
But see, this is one of the problems I have, Charlie. When we were growing up, corruption seemed to have been more under the table. They didn't want you to know it. This prosecutor here in Maryville is just straight up, yeah, I'm corrupt. Do something about it. What? You know, they don't even hide it anymore. What happened?
No, I don't know what happened. I think a tradition started at some point. I don't want to say tradition because that makes it sound positive,
it
even a little bit.
It makes it sound festive.
Yeah, it does. It makes it sound jovial almost. But a habit, I'll say. A habit started where instead of trying to hide the fact that something is corrupt, they just try to defend that fact. And they will reach for any argument at all that has even a chance of holding a little bit of fucking water. This is just like what we talked about last time, that drunk driving vehicular homicide case.
I'm too drunk to be found guilty of driving drunk. I only drove drunk because I was drunk, so the reason I committed the crime is the crime I committed, therefore I cannot be convicted of the crime I committed because I was inebriated.
Exactly. Somewhere along the line, it became more acceptable and more likely to ensure victory to not pretend something isn't bad, but admit that it's bad and just defend it by any means necessary. And too many people have been able to pull that shit off.
Do you think it has something to do with that old saying, the cover-up is worse than the crime?
I think it does.
Do you think they're just doubling down, saying, all right, if I try and cover up the fact that I want a job with the congressman, it's just going to make me look worse, so I'm just going to straight out say it, then nobody can accuse me of being, ironically enough, corrupt in this case?
I mean, I don't want to say what's worse, corruption or rape, because they're all fucking horrible, but it's kind of the same thing.
It also says a sad, sad statement against the people of Maryville that not only do they blame the rape victim, but they were basically like, get out of our town, you disgusting filth.
I know.
How dare you be raped in our town?
God, it makes me sick. There's just so many horrible fucking people in the world, man.
All right, on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you want to get high for this?
Okay.
Sterilized hypo to shoot a sex machine drug. It got 24 hours. Shoot off all his between the legs. 96 tears through 24 hours. Sex once every hour. Didn't understand.
The NSA has been spying on nearly 125 billion phone calls in just 1 month, according to a number of new news reports. We find out that there's a government contractor who's been using copyright law and fear of hackers to get a restraining order against open source developer of software. And then what else have we got here? We find out that one of the guys from Battlecam has been arrested for, well, you know, he could grow 30 plants of pot in his backyard, but he was growing 90. And how did he get busted? The police were spying on him with Google Maps. That's right, folks. The police are using Google Maps to spy in your backyard. But the thing I'm going to get into
in this case, literally in your backyard.
Literally in your backyard. I am Hart Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley. You heard him chime in. We are in the middle of a heart attack moment. And we are in the middle of a what the fuck day. Because right about now, I'm sitting here looking at this mass spying thing that's supposed to happen this weekend. And as we talk about this, the more me and Josh use the words NSA, rally against mass spying, gee, the more problems we're having with our Skype recording here. Because you know what, guys? They use keywords to search. They've got computer programs on everything you say, everything you email, everything you post on Facebook, because they want us all distracted so it's easier to pass these laws that make it easier for them to put us in jail for just about anything. Well, the thing I wanted to mention is on Saturday, which you're going to be hearing this by now, hopefully you'll be hearing about it, but you should know that there's a major rally happening against the NSA spying. Our own ex-president Jimmy Carter has come out against the spying. And you know what? I have respect for Jimmy Carter for one reason, because he stood up against torture. He stood up for human rights and humanity. And, you know, that's not easy to do in the face of a lot of these pseudo tough guys, but Jimmy did it. And Jimmy Carter is saying, you know what, this mass spying is a big, big mistake. So on the 12th anniversary of the Patriot Act, there's a lot of people taking a stand against the NSA. You should check it out, guys. Go look up Fight for the Future online. Fight for the Future, demandprogress.org. That's a lot of the places I go to find out information about this stuff.
You know what, though? We also had the MPAA thugs take down ISO Hunt this week. Remember we talked about Demonoid in a much earlier episode. ISO Hunt's now gone too.
What was ISO Hunt?
ISO Hunt was one of the largest torrent sites on the internet. The MPAA got a legal injunction against them, and they legally were doing something illegal, which I disagree with, but that's a different issue. Part of what the MPAA...
So wait a minute, Josh. So they shut down a major torrent site, huh?
Yes. But
and
hold on.
Didn't they shut down Mega Uploads too?
They shut down Mega Upload. They shut
down
Demonoid.
Shut down Demonoid and the Silk Road. But gee, we are trying to record this, guys, as you listen to this at home, and our recording is getting interrupted in a way that does not happen to Josh in any of his other programs, any of his other programming. Skype and I'm on a Time Warner box. And when we hit certain key words, all of a sudden we have a hard time with recording this. And what we just had blacked out is download.com is owned by CBS, guys. It's owned by CBS. It is being sued for copyright infringement, illegal downloading, everything that Demonoid and all these other sites that have been already yanked down, already happening on download.com. In fact, I believe LimeWire was through download.com.
LimeWire is long gone. LimeWire is a joke, and it had been for many years before it went away.
But Download.com still is around, and they have not been removed because they are owned by an American company, a major media company, CBS. They're being sued by Alki David, and many other filmmakers and other artists are involved in this lawsuit, and they aren't taken out. Perhaps because they're part of the media blackout about what the government's really doing to people and part of the way that they subjugate us. What was the excuse they used to take down ISO Corps, Josh?
ISO Hunt was taken down the same way they do all of them. You are allowing people to pirate copywritten material. But they went even farther. The MPAA shyster thugs, and that's what they are. To me, the MPAA is a thug organization and nothing more.
MPAA is a thug organization because most people don't understand that it's paid for by the major movie corporations, and they use the MPAA to subjugate independent film producers and saddling them with unfair ratings instead of giving those same ratings to their major fare from major Hollywood. I think a lot of newspapers won't take advertising from films that have not been through the MPAA, and it's also a lobbying board, and their members, their judges, are secret. It's a secret panel of judges on the ratings board. How do you like them apples?
See, here's the thing, Hart, though, with ISO Hunt. The MPAA shysters said, we want the records and IP addresses of everybody who's ever downloaded anything off of your server. So
anything?
Yes, they wanted all the information. So the head of ISO Hunt said, because he was scheduled to remove it next week, he said, oh, guess what? The server went down now. Guess you can't get all those IPs. Sorry, MPAA.
Yeah, they're pulling a lot of dirty shit, guys. They're using copyright laws to suppress political speech. They're also using copyright laws in a way that they were never intended to do. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. I think it's pretty important for us to all kind of be on top of this, on top of these things. And I've mentioned before, you can find out where I read about this stuff. I check out Fight for the Future on Facebook. I check out demandprogress.org. I believe there's another site called Storm Clouds Gathering I check out. Then I check out techdirt.com. That's where I read a lot of this stuff. And these things are important. These things are going to change the way you can get groceries at the store. They affect all of us. And there's some dirty shit going down. The idea that you could use a copyright law to get a restraining order in Idaho to go after some fucking software developer who's trying to develop open source code stuff, it's kind of crazy. It's interesting. They've set this up so that the law works for the guys that are in the big corporations and not for human beings.
It's a textbook example of how you can abuse copyright in a way to keep the little guy out, to keep it this boys' club. You know, we don't want women in our club. We don't want blacks in our club. We only want our own kind. And that is the corporations.
Yeah. Yeah, it really seems that way. It really seems that way. It's pretty fucking crazy. Guys, this has actually been kind of one of the more frustrating episodes we've recorded on What the Fuck. I gotta admit, this thing with the computers being fucked with when we try to record this stuff, we're not fucking around, guys. This is weird. Josh, you record how many other podcasts?
I produce 7 different shows a week, not counting anything I guest on. Usually, the audience doesn't hear any of that because I edit it out, because I'm a professional at this. So they don't hear a lot of the mistakes. They don't hear a lot of the things we have to re-say because one of us drops out or anything like that. So they don't get to hear this, but trust me, guys, this is happening.
Dude, you just dropped out on me. You just dropped out now. You just dropped out on me. It just went dead silent. Ugh. And fucking a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. And I think they're doing – this is done on purpose, guys. The point I was trying to make with Josh, how many other shows do you do? Does this happen to any of the other shows?
No, it doesn't.
And we had problems on the phone line, right? At first, when we first started doing this, the phone line was fucking fine. And then as the show grew in popularity, all of a sudden we started having so many problems with our landline Time Warner phone that we had to go to Skype. And for the first like month or so, the Skype was fine. But all of a sudden now they must have a man in the fucking cupboard on us on Skype, because when we hit these keywords, especially when we talk about NSA or about the various American corporations, we get lots of fucking tech problems. It's a fucking nightmare. Well, let me tell you, whoever's out there fucking with us, it's just annoyance, guys. It's just bullshit. And you're only showing your hand. You're only showing your hand that you want to suppress things. You want to gaslight people. You want to make things a little difficult. Well, you can go fuck yourself. Whoever's in a cubicle paying attention to what we're doing, whatever NSA dickhead is out there spying on what Josh and I are doing, go fuck yourself. You're the worst kind of American. You're a piece of shit. So that's what I got to say. But I'm going to go out on a happy note. It's almost Halloween. It's my favorite time of the year, and I'm going to say it. I said it on the hour-long show, but I'm going to say it again. It's my 10th wedding anniversary. I just want to say, Waka, I love you. I'm so happy you're part of my life. I'm so thrilled that you were able to survive cancer, and you really make my life a brighter, better place. I'm Hart Fisher. This has been Heart Attack. We're out of here.
Charlie, you're a pothead. Is that the only drug you've ever done? Have you ever done anything harder than pot?
One time I did, I'm not even sure what it was. I had smoked some pot that was laced with something. I never got a clear answer on what it is, but it was sort of like PCP acid kind of thing. And it was fucking awful. I threw up shit that I didn't even eat.
That's always scary when that happens. And now
I'm of the rare breed that pot is not a gateway drug for. Like I'm someone who pot is good enough for.
Eh, fair enough. Well, remember how we were complimenting Texas in the first segment?
Right.
Well, we get to go back on that.
Full circle.
Couple of Texas City eighth graders were found with a brand new kind of liquid methamphetamine that can be absorbed through the skin.
This was in Galveston, correct?
Yes, in Galveston County. Here's the thing. This doesn't exist. So this is a new kind of meth. Absorbent methamphetamine is now a new synthetic... Well, I guess saying synthetic meth is kind of an oxymoron, but a new kind of just discovered meth that somebody figured out. You don't even have to smoke it or shoot it up anymore, dude. You just touch it!
Well, this isn't entirely new. I mean, this might be the first time it's been used for meth specifically, but that is how acid is traditionally done. I mean, either a tablet, like it's hardened and formed into a tablet like any pharmaceutical, or liquid form where that you put on a stamp and you either eat the stamp or stick it on your arm or something like that's been done before. But
just not with meth.
Right.
I guess what really disturbs me about this is that people are still screwing around with these drugs to make them, in quotes, better. And that's what I don't understand. First of all, meth is all chemicals.
Yeah, there's no organic battery acid and cough syrup that's being used to make meth.
Exactly. Same thing with there was a documentary I saw on Discovery Channel a few years ago about how cocaine was made. And, you know, the camera crew was following the coca farmers in Colombia and everything. Do you realize how little coca is actually in cocaine?
What, with all the baby aspirin and, like, powdered soap and
gasoline and
like
thinner,
all the shit that cocaine gets cut with
to make it what you think of as cocaine. It only right. has 2% of the natural cocaine. The rest is all chemicals. Why right. would you put this in your body? Meth is literally a synthetic drug. Why not shoot Windex into your arms? Why not just drink drain cleaner? Wouldn't it have the same goddamn effect?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think there's a psychological element that can't really be ignored. Because if you take it down to just the simple elements, take like beer and pot. People smoke pot and drink beer because it's a stress reliever and it's an anxiety reliever. People do that, you know, because they've had a stressful day and it helps people to relax. It's also a cure for anorexia, by the way. But once you get that feeling, and once you, if you do it a lot, you build up a tolerance. The same amount of beer or pot does not get you as high anymore. So it makes it more difficult to relax. So some people, rather than just adjust their intake, will just take the shortcut and find something that gets you even higher.
Which is addiction. And I understand addiction, but I guess my question is, how do you make the decision? I know that if I smoke crack, I know that if I snort cocaine, I know that if I do meth in any of the, you know, numerous ways you can get meth into your system, that I will become addicted and that this will take over my life. It will destroy me. I've seen all those pictures of meth mouth and all that and how it destroys lives.
Not even once.
And I still choose to do it. That's what I don't get, Charlie. That's what I do not understand is I know everything it's going to do to me. I know when it's going to happen. I know how much of control it's going to get. But God damn it, I want to get high.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it all depends on the first experience. Because even considering crack and heroin and cocaine and meth and everything like that, nobody gets addicted from doing something one time.
Oh, no. I'm not saying once, but usually because there's a reason it's called chasing the dragon. Because the right. first time you do it, it works really, really well.
Not so necessarily. Not for everybody. The people that get addicted are the people that have a positive experience their first time doing something.
And then they do it again, but it's not quite as good. So you want to do it again.
Right.
And by that point, your body's starting to need it.
Yes.
And that's what I don't get. It's like, first of all, I don't understand why people want to feel some of these ways. I've never been on morphine, okay?
Okay.
When my wife has had surgery before, and they put her on morphine, and it just... It destroyed her. She couldn't think. She could barely talk. She was totally out of it. And she told me when she came out, why do people want to feel like this? She's like, I hated this feeling the morphine gave me. Why do people choose this as, I really want to feel like that?
Well, I mean, I can kind of see why some people would choose that. Because it's a form of relaxation that some people are not able to get any other way.
A coma is not relaxation.
Not talking about a coma. I'm just talking about just a relaxation, just a loosening up inner tension. Because one example, last night I was on stage for House of Dracula. There's a chase scene in that play. I tripped on a stair, landed on my...
Renfield?
I'm not Renfield. I'm Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, I could totally see you eating bugs.
I know. Well, I mean, I do, just not on stage. Wouldn't make sense for the character. But I tripped on a stair, landed on my face, and pulled something in my neck. went through the rest of the show hurting like a bastard the whole time. My sister was there watching the show. She had recently broken her leg. She gave me a Percocet. She said, take this tomorrow because I was off work today. And so I took that, and it did not really help the pain in my neck, but it does just chill you out. It gives you sort of a sleepy Sudafed kind of feeling, but without falling asleep. It's difficult to describe to someone who's never had like a prescription strength painkiller, but it is a form of relaxation that you're not able to get any other way.
But see, I've had that kind of feeling before, like when you're really sick or whatnot. I don't understand why people want to feel all the way I put it is like your head is filled with cobwebs. You can't think straight. And now you might be able to make a joke out of this, but I like to be able to think. I want my mind. I don't want my mind taken from me.
That's fish in a barrel, man. I'm better than that.
On the other hand, I know people that their entire life is, I just want to escape. And yet what they don't realize is, but see, that's a double-edged sword. They use the drugs to escape a life that is terrible because their life is ruled by drugs, so they need to escape it by taking drugs. Do you see that? How it's an endless loop that my life sucks, so I need an escape. Why does your life suck? Because I spend all my money and time on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point in the life of every addict. Doesn't matter what it is. Because I'd smoke cigarettes, I used to drink way too much. I smoke pot almost every day now. But there, no matter what you're addicted to, there comes a point where you go from taking it to feel good to taking it to not feel worse.
And see, I remember George Carlin, when he was interviewed by Jon Stewart in the 90s, he said that's when he realized he had a problem. When he needed cocaine, when he needed heroin, just to feel normal, he was still cognizant enough to go, this is not right. I need help.
And there is one school of thought on this subject that I have never really subscribed to, and that's people that take psychedelic drugs. Psychedelic drugs would be like your acid, your mescaline, stuff like that. Any kind
basically Hunter Thompson's au revoir.
Pretty much. Speed is not really a psychedelic drug, but it's in the same kind of food group, I guess you could say. But people that say they take them and it opens up their mind to new experiences and it channels
that doors to their energy, inner mind shit, yeah.
Yes, that Jim Morrison yoga bullshit, I've never, ever been able to make sense of that shit. It's just ridiculous. There is no reality that you're not able to see unless you take acid. That's just dumb.
Closest I've ever come is when I stayed up for 72 hours once. I was so sleep deprived, I was seeing, like, you know, bunnies beheading people in the streets, you know, while giant trees were trying to eat them.
Yeah, I've gotten to that point.
But I did that naturally, just not sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, that happens too, because you're familiar with my joke about driving from Nashville to Pueblo, Colorado. My record is, I think it was either 53 or 54 hours. But at around that point, I was hallucinating as well, and it was just from sleep. Back then, when I was in my 20s, I didn't drink or smoke pot, like, ever.
Are you ever tempted to go beyond pot?
I am not.
Are you ever tempted, like, say, one of your buddies comes up and he's like, hey, man, I got this new meth that's, like, better than the Breaking Bad meth. And are you able to just go, no?
Yes. I've been offered meth a number of times. Because I hang out in bars a lot. Like, whenever I do karaoke or stand-up, I spend a lot of time in bars. Like, even when I'm not drinking. And I've been offered meth a number of times, and I've never once even wanted to. Because it's really a different kind of a high. I mean, the high you get from marijuana is, because marijuana itself is a barbiturate. It's a downer, as they say. It mellows you out. Cocaine and meth and speed and stuff like that.
Amps you up.
It's a stimulant, a rather extreme stimulant, because stimulant just seems like too weak of a word to apply to something like cocaine. But I've never really wanted to go in that direction.
But that's because cocaine, you know, coca, when the cocaine plant at their base, they're used as a numbing agent. And I mean that in a physical way, numbing agent. It's only when you add the gasoline and paint thinner and baby aspirin and all that, that it actually gets you high. So you're not actually, you know, why not just snort some gasoline mixed with paint thinner then?
I'm sure you could. I'm not sure what would happen. Not going to test that theory.
No, you don't have to.
No, but I'm sure you could, though. I mean, people are looking for an altered state if they're unhappy with their natural state. It's as simple as that.
Except to me, what I don't understand is it's a temporary escape at best. It's a temporary escape.
Yeah.
And I think that's pointless because that temporary escape's only going to make when you come back even worse.
Right. And people that don't want it to be a temporary escape, that's how you get to the point where you're selling all your possessions and blowing a coke dealer behind a dumpster.
Which brings me to the legality of it. I even agree with you, even though I don't do it. I think pot should be legal in the United States and regulated.
We are coming up on the one-year anniversary of the legalization of marijuana here in Colorado. Almost nothing has changed.
That can be said as a good thing.
I mean, it's like I still buy it from a guy who knows a guy. Like, I haven't changed the way I buy marijuana. I still use it responsibly. Same thing with alcohol. Same thing with anything, really. Coffee, even. And almost nothing is different. I think the war on drugs is, I don't know. It's kind of a hustle when you think about it.
But do you think there are different degrees that deserve different laws? For instance, as we talked about with like cocaine, since cocaine and meth are basically completely manufactured and are dangerous both to the body and to what they make you do to other people, should that be regulated? Because to me, the drug war isn't complete bullshit. Things like heroin and cocaine and stuff like that, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot, but I do not think those should be legal. I don't think you should be able to choose to put that stuff in your body. Am I overstepping my bounds there?
I think you might be overstepping your bounds just a little bit. I think the reason why cocaine and heroin and everything are illegal now is because of all the activities associated with the manufacturing and distributing of those things. People, I mean, they're run by criminals. Criminals tend to shoot people to resolve arguments, or torture them or bury them alive. I think the activities associated with these substances are the harmful things. Because I think the consumption of cocaine and heroin are all voluntary. And I think the silver lining is that cocaine kills all the right people, those people being people that voluntarily do cocaine.
But do you see that drugs are harmful to the, well, let's just stick to America for now, to our country overall? And I mean the use of drugs themselves, not the economic harms or the cartels or the street dealer or anything like that, the crime stats. Talking about, do you see that turning us into a nation of addicts is a bad thing?
I think we've been a nation of addicts since day one. I mean, since we were enslaving black people and slaughtering Indians, I think we've all been addicts all the time because alcohol has always been around. People get addicted to alcohol. People harm other people because of alcohol. People lose their jobs because of alcohol. I don't think there's any need to split hairs like that. I think as long as those substances exist, there's going to be people that are going to use them. Anytime you talk generally about people, especially Americans, there's always going to be some people within that group that abuse those things and do them too much. Someone's going to get hurt because we're a nation of people that are capable of hurting others.
I think we're a nation of children who don't know when to stop. I think we're a nation of children that don't know when to say, no, thank you, I've had enough. Just keep indulging until we go, oh, fuck. And you wake up with your panties around your ankles. Because the mindset of Americans have this weird, because look at the way people will vote. Look in my state, okay?
Okay.
We tried to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin. You got it done in Colorado. In Wisconsin, it was voted down. Yet, Wisconsin is the fourth largest consumer of prescription drugs in the United States. So what they're saying is, I want my Vicodin. I want my Percocet. I want my OxyContin. I want my Lipitor. I want that little bee to sell me all the drugs he can with the creepy Spanish accent. I want all that. But no, no, no. Pot? Pot is wrong. Pot is immoral. Now, when I get up, I got 15 different pills I got to pop so I can actually go to work. Do you think that is kind of an oxymoron?
It's a huge oxymoron. And being the fourth highest consumer of prescription drugs in a country like America is really saying
50.
Some shit.
Yeah, yes. We're the fourth out of 50. That's not good.
Now, that's 50 states full of the most prescription medicated people on the planet.
I think it's a massive double standard, and people split hairs. See, a lot of people don't consider these drugs, even though you get them from. See, you get them from the pharmacy. You don't get them from when we were growing up. Remember, it was the drugstore. Remember, you'd go to get your pills from the drugstore
because they were drugs.
They are drugs, not now, were are.
Yeah, but now it's a pharmacy with medication.
Now are they? No. See, now they're not drugs. Now they're pharmaceuticals, Charlie. See, pharmaceuticals. So to me. We in this country, we do split hairs. Heroin, bad. Oxycontin, good. Cocaine, bad. Vicodin, good.
And it's very hypocritical because that's the kind of self-gratification that made that kind of advent possible. I mean, our attitude enabled the pharmaceutical industry to become as powerful as they are. Because we are a country full of people who would just rather take a pill and be done with it and just wait for their problems to all drop away.
But it also kind of shows the ignorance of your average American as well. Because look at it like this. Lipitor has caused more deaths nationwide in just the last year than pot has in the last 40. And I'm not talking like dealers shooting each other kind of thing. I mean the drug itself. The stuff you get at the pharmacy is far more deadly and causes far more... I mean, hell, do you think that if you were able to sell pot on television, that you'd have the little bee rattling off 900 different side effects?
Well, it wouldn't be Antonio Banderas. It would be Cheech Marin.
I'm okay with that.
And the side effects of marijuana are an unhealthy enjoyment of Ruffles potato chips and fruit roll-ups.
I always thought I thought Cheetos was the go-to pot food.
Cheetos are okay. Actually, that's there's a conversation I had with Kevin Daly recently where we were at work and I went to go get a bag of chips out of the vending machine and the only thing that was there was Funyuns, so I just sort of didn't get anything. And he said, "Well, I thought your people really liked Funyuns." And I said, "Well, it's not that stoners like Funyuns, it's just that you have to be stoned to enjoy Funyuns."
That's not unfair. Where can people contact you?
You can contact me on Facebook, Twitter, or at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
And you can contact me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com, or the aforementioned geekjuicemedia.com. Charlie's going to go freebase some meth while screwing a tranny while doing his taxes, so have a good night.
With gusto, baby!
I wanna be sedated. Just put me in a wheelchair and get What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.